We're going to go ahead and start. This will be about relief by elders, bishops, overseers, ministers, stewards, and administrators in the scriptures. Relief being aid to those in need and those that are weak. So if we could stop the flooding of the room here, we're not you're not commenting on what I'm talking about. Let's listen, okay? That's the main thing. I've got something that will help if you'll take the time to listen instead of tuning into your own opinions and posting them. And as we go through the scriptures, we'll be looking for two things today. First, relief, aid from the body of Christ churches to the Church of God in Jerusalem. And we'll see the authority for that. Hold on just a minute, please. Okay, I'm going to have to put some dots here to quiet the room, just to quiet the room. We'll take them off later, but hope you can listen instead. Okay. No sound? Okay, got sound. Good. All right. So we'll go on here. We're going to look for two things. First is the aid or relief, and the second is leadership in the body of Christ churches. What does the Bible have to say about that? In referring to the leadership, we'll briefly comment on that first, because most of what we will be talking about is aid to those in need. And what the Bible says about that. But firstly, in referring to the leadership within the body of Christ churches, we need to rid our minds of preconceived ideas that we may have from traditions or from being told things that left an unscriptural impression in our minds. And that's easy. I mean, we're all under the influence of the Roman Empire and their adapting of what they found left from the Israel's doctrine writings and writings from Paul and the body of Christ, and they're making a forced church out of that mixture of doctrines, which come down to us, and they talk about it as the church. And as if it was the descendant of what's in the Bible, and it's not. It's very ungodly, actually. But so we must identify which verses are actually talking about leadership and not ministering or serving. There's a difference between leading or serving. Serving is another word for ministering. So, and we don't want to just talk about the office. We want to talk about the leadership. And we'll get to more about biblical leadership later on in the study. Here we only want to identify the three main sources of church leadership information in Paul's epistles. And they are, firstly, Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Secondly would be 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And thirdly would be 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Those three sections talk about leadership within the church. And we'll get into one or two others that seem to talk about leadership within the church, but they're not actually... They're talking about relief, actually, and that had conditions upon that, too. So we'll see. We'll understand that once we get to that. Now, let's start with information that Paul has provided about the early body of Christ churches and their aid or relief to the Church of God in Jerusalem. Pulled out your speaker. Oh, okay, for... I can restart the room if I have to, so that we have sound for everybody. Have sound now. Okay, good. So, regarding aid and relief, there are 11 different events referenced, and I'll put them in the order that they occurred so that we see the development as you go along. But, you know, as you just read through daily reading in the scripture, I didn't notice the prevalence of this. So there were so many references about it. Let me just run through these real quick, and then we'll get to each one individually. In Acts 11, verses 27 to 30, and in Acts 12, verse 25, the body of Christ's first action, they determined to send relief to those in need in Jerusalem. And then you come down three chapters later in Acts 14, verses 21 to 23, Paul and Barnabas ordained elders in all the churches that they had established, the body of Christ churches. Later on, in the writing of Galatians, in chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, we should remember the poor. Well, who were the poor? When they're talking about the poor saints in Jerusalem, that's those people that had sold everything that they had to bring in the kingdom. They believed that the kingdom was coming in, and it would have had the leadership and a majority of Israel believed been baptized and received the Spirit. The Holy Ghost back then. But they didn't. And so these people that did believe were left without anything. And when Peter and the apostles distributed to the needs of the saints after the kingdom, the Lord didn't come back and the kingdom wasn't brought in, they ran out of the money. And the Lord did not leave them there. He didn't pull the rug out from under them. He supported them. He had the body of Christ support them, starting in Acts 11, verses 27 to 30 there. The first action of the body of Christ, actually. And so we come on down and we see that the poor, in their agreement in Acts 15, when they made that handshake between Paul and Peter, James, and John, they said the only thing is that we should remember the poor. They're talking about the poor among them there in that meeting in Jerusalem in the Church of God. Remember the poor. So they and Paul said the very thing we were wanting to do, to donate to the poor saints in Jerusalem. So you get to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. And in that list there is support the weak. Well, who are the weak? We've gone through that before. In Romans and in 1 Corinthians, when he's talking about the weak, that you can destroy the weak or that the weak ones can perish, that's not talking about believers, about body of Christ believers. Believers in Paul's gospel. There was a mixed multitude, and you can reference the lessons on the website about the mixed multitude, but there was a mixed multitude. There were some that had come out of the synagogue because they believed that Jesus was the risen Messiah, and they were called to be Jews. They were completed Jews. They had believed. Nobody in the synagogue believed that Jesus was the Messiah because they had said in John 9:22 that if you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, you have to leave the synagogue. You're getting kicked out. You know, you can't be in the synagogue and believe that Jesus is the Messiah, risen from the dead. So when they did believe it, when Paul came and preached it and they believed it, they had to leave. Well, there were others that believed the gospel of God when they heard it, but they were called of God, and we don't know, there's no sign that says who God was calling into the little flock type of people that believed, but were Israel, and those that God was calling into the body of Christ. So those that believed the gospel of God, that Jesus was the Messiah, and were called to be in the body of Christ, they went on when they heard Paul preach the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for their sins. If you believe on him, you're saved. Believe on him to life everlasting life. They were in the body of Christ. So you've got these people that had to leave the synagogue. Paul was there teaching. They met with Paul. It was Paul's meeting, and yet it was a mixture of some Jews and some former Jews and Greeks that were in the body of Christ. So among them were the weak, the ones that were Jews that had to endure to the end. Or they could perish. They could be destroyed by following something you do. You've got liberty to eat pork. And yet those Jews were still under the law. They were not to eat pork. But they see you eating pork, oh, it's okay, I guess now. And they eat it, and they could be destroyed. They didn't endure to the end. So that mainly is talking about iniquity, not practice. I mean, it's not... There were sacrifices for disobeying the law. But that enduring to the end is mainly not going after other gods. Specifically, when it's talking about during the tribulation, it's not going after the Antichrist, not falling for his lies. All right, that was 1, 2, 3. That was 4 different of the 11. 1 Corinthians. We'll look in 1 Corinthians in a little bit. Chapter 16, verses 1 to 4, and verses 13 to 18, talking about, he says, I have given order. It's becoming an order, not just, if you want to do it or not. So do ye. Submit yourselves unto such. And that's the place where it talks about leadership. But the leadership is in this act of relief or giving to the church in Jerusalem. So you can see there is some connection between leadership and the relief. And the relief, well, we'll get into it. I'm jumping ahead here. So let's go to the next one. 2 Corinthians, the next event referenced about relief and aid. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1, verse 10, 12, 13. That whole section from 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 9, 15 is talking about ministering to the saints. Paul says, this service supplieth the want of the saints. What was wanting? What was lacking? They were without food. They had run out of money. They needed to have their wants supplied by the body of Christ, and that's what God had charged Paul with challenging the churches, the body of Christ churches, to do. He calls it liberal distribution. They were giving heavily to supply the needs of the church of God in Jerusalem. All right, next one, Romans 12, verse 13, and of course Romans was written early in Acts 20. So we're up to Acts 20. We start out in Acts 11 and 15, and we've come down to Acts 20 when Romans was written. Romans 12, verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints. That's what that's talking about. And you come down to chapter 15 in Romans, three chapters later, verses 25 and 27, a very telling section. Minister unto the saints, a certain contribution for the poor saints in Jerusalem. Their debtors they are. Their duty is to minister unto them in carnal things, meaning physical needs, the need for food. Feed the flock in Jerusalem. And we get to that section now in Acts 20, later on in Acts 20, verse 17, and then 28, and then 33 to 35, you get some statements like, the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And that word is a very interesting and telling word, overseers. The Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. So laboring, you ought to support the weak. There the weak is mentioned again. That's the Israelites among them. And he says, you ought to support them laboring. You ought to go to work, make money, to give to those people that are dying if they don't get food. Those, not just people, but those specific Israelites in the Church of God in Jerusalem that had sold everything to bring in the kingdom, and the kingdom didn't come in through because Israel fell, and so they were left, and the Lord charged Paul and the body of Christ churches to raise the money and feed the flock in Jerusalem, feed the Church of God. Two more references, and then we'll get into looking at each one of them. 1 Timothy 2, and that section goes through 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. But he mentions things like it's a good work. He says, take care of the church of God, and how thou oughtest to behave thyself. What is good deportment? What should you be doing? There's something that needs to be done for that church of God there in Jerusalem. The last one, Titus 1, verses 5 and 7. And we see that they're given two names for the people there, two titles. He says, set in order the things that are wanting. There's that want, that necessity, that lacking again, that those saints in the church Church of God in Jerusalem had because they'd sold everything. Set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders. So there's a connection there. And we saw that connection back in Acts 20, too. The overseers, the Holy Ghost made them overseers to feed the flock. Well, elders here we'll get to that when we get down to the study of those verses. But he's also called the steward of God. God placed a stewardship on those people to feed the flock in Jerusalem. So let's look just at some preview verses for orientation, some of the important statements that are made throughout these sections. Paul said, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Do you see the connection now? Sometimes you read that and you think he's going to go and preach to, you know, in the temple there or something. But he's talking about ministering or serving the need that the saints had because they had sold everything. Verse 26 in Romans 15, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. That's relief going on. It's aid to those that are in need in that church. And all these statements are specific to the Church of God in Jerusalem. Not just the people down the block that are in need or whatever, or people in the church that are in need today. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 3, and when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem, specific to Jerusalem. And we'll see that this is an early reference to the elders before they had that name of elder, whomsoever you shall approve. Here in Acts 20, verse 28, an often used verse, look what it really says, though. Paul is talking to those named as elders from the body of Christ Church in Ephesus, and we saw that in Acts 20, verse 17, that he called them down to Miletus, and he gave them this talk. And in the talk, he says, take, this is verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. The flock is sheep, not body of Christ people. He's talking about Israel. What part of the flock? Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. So they are overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So there you see the overseers having a position, having an appointment by God, the Holy Ghost, to be overseeing these funds that are collected and taken to Jerusalem to give to those poor saints in Jerusalem. in the Church of God. Look at verse 35, Acts 20:35. And if someone now could post the verses, that would help. There is a verse list for this date in page 15 on the website, followchristpattern.com. Acts 20, verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, get a job, so laboring, you ought to support the weak. He's getting strong here in his urges. Urge them that they ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So it was sanctioned even back in the Gospels by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he's connecting it with giving to the poor saints in Jerusalem there. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Your righteousness, righteous activities there, not our standing. He's talking about something they're doing, the believers are doing, not to be saved. This is a special assignment given to the body of Christ churches at that time while that Church of God in Jerusalem existed. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, that's their want. That's where you see all these statements about the want. I left you in Crete that you might fix what was wanting. I forget the word there, not fix, but that's what it's talking about, the want of the saints. Not only supply the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God. And the 13th verse to close out this passage, 2 Corinthians 9:13, whiles by the experiment of this ministration, serving the church in Jerusalem, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. We heard in the first lesson somebody saying, was the gospel of Christ anywhere besides in Romans? Well, sure, it's all through that section. But here's one use of it. They glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Look back just before we get into individual churches and what they were doing. 1 Corinthians 16, 15 and 16. We'll get both those verses. 1 Corinthians 16, 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They made a pledge, in other words, a pledge to keep giving to this church until by attrition they had all died. Verse 16, that you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Those that have gotten jobs to get money to keep that Church of God in Jerusalem alive, or the saints in that church, submit yourselves unto such. Now that sounds like leadership in the church, which is the other half of what we're studying in this lesson. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about, leadership in this specific case, in the case of raising funds to send to Jerusalem, to carry to Jerusalem. They had to protect it and to deliver to those elders at the Church of Jerusalem. The Israel elders, not the body of Christ elders, there in the Church of God at Jerusalem. Okay, that's all kind of introductory. We're going to get into each one of the churches and see what they actually did, see what Paul actually said about it. Let me just get a sip here. Hold on. Remember, this started as as the first action or function of the body of Christ. And it was continued on as the body of Christ's charge or challenge until that Church of God in Jerusalem had died out. Acts 11, verses 27 through 30. Let's look at Acts 11, 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Now this is after Paul had preached grace to them for a year, a whole year. And there was a change. They stopped being called disciples and started being called Christians. And there's a common thought that that's a derogatory term, but there's nothing in the scripture about it being derogatory. It's a change of status. They're no longer Jews. They're in the body of Christ after being preached how Paul got saved, unforgivable Paul got saved as a sinner instead of as a law keeper. It's a different system. They learned it for a year, and they were called Christians instead of disciples after that. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And those prophets were prophecy program prophets. Israel's covenant prophets, not body of Christ prophets. Which there were some of, but these aren't them. They had a different function. Going on to verse 28. Acts 11, 28. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth, famine, throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. And we see in many other places, they're called brethren, whether they're in the same entity of God or not, whether they're in, you know, the body of Christ or in Israel, they call each other brethren. Paul called Peter brethren, and vice versa. They called the body of Christ churches called those believing Israelites among them brethren, even though they were in Israel's in the early part of that mixed multitude that came out of the synagogues and met with Paul. Let's go to verse 30. It starts out which they did also. Let me go back a little. The great dearth throughout the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So the money was collected, it was transmitted, it was carried, okay, and delivered to the hands of the elders of the Church of God in Jerusalem. And those elders were Israel's elders in the Church of God in Jerusalem, not body of Christ elders in the churches of the Gentiles. All right, next incident. Well, it's partly the same, but it's almost two chapters later. It says in Acts 12, verse 25, we see, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. Well, their ministry was to deliver the money that had been collected in Antioch, Syrian Antioch, just north there, and deliver it to the Church of God in Jerusalem when they had fulfilled that. So they did get to do that, in other words. They returned from Jerusalem when they'd fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So that's where John Mark enters in, the one that wrote Mark, the second book of the New Testament. And that's the first instance of the 11 instances of giving to the Church of God in Jerusalem. Secondly, though, aid goes from Galatia to Jerusalem. And in Acts 14, we'll look at verses 21, 22, and 23. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, which was Derbe, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra. That's where Paul had been stoned just two verses earlier. They returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. That would be Pisidian Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Remember, this is during the, it was called a dispensation of the gospel. It was that period today called mid-Acts period, when there were two ways to be saved. Okay, let's try to keep our comments on the lesson. So, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained, now these are people entering God's kingdom, God's rulership, not their own ego, not their own pride of life running their lives. They're entering under the rulership of God, called the kingdom of God, the eternal, worldwide, universe-wide rulership of God, not the kingdom coming out of heaven to earth. That kingdom will have an outpost that was promised Israel. It will have an outpost in Israel, and Jesus Christ will return and sit on David's throne to rule the earth for 1,000 years. But this is not talking about that. This is talking about God's eternal rulership, from which that kingdom will come at some time. And he says we must, through much tribulation, there's going to be trouble when you believe that Christ died for your sins, instead of, he's telling them that it's different, is what he's saying. There's going to be turbulence when the Jews hear that you're believing that Christ died for your sins, Jews and Greeks at that point. Verse 23, Acts 14, 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, let me go on. And had prayed with fasting. Consider why they would have been fasting about this. When they had ordained elders were, it said in Acts 20, verse 28, that the Lord had appointed, the Holy Ghost had made you overseers. And we haven't yet made the connection, but we'll see in a little bit the connection between elders and overseers. So, ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. This still regarding Galatians and that area and the influence that Paul had toward giving aid to the Church of God in Jerusalem. Let's look in Galatians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Now, we use chapter 2, verse 9, often as a roadmap to the Scriptures, showing who Paul went to and who the 12, Israel's 12 apostles went to and wrote to. So, when somebody tries to show you something in 1 Peter, well, we turn to this verse, and it says that Peter wrote unto the circumcision. Well, it doesn't say wrote, but he went unto the circumcision. Let's read it. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, Paul speaking, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So there's that division, and you need to make it rightly. rightly dividing between what's written to the heathen, the Gentiles, the nations, non-Jews, that would be us, by Paul, and what was where the 12 went to and wrote to the circumcision. That's the believing Israel only. So let me just catch up here, and then we'll get into verse 10. And that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Now, if you just read that alone, that remember the poor sounds like be nice to others, you know. But when you rightly divide it out in this study and show that it's connected with all these other 10 of the 11 events where the Lord challenged Paul, gave Paul the charge to go and challenge the churches to get a job, labor, in order to make money to give, to send to Jerusalem to those poor saints who had sold everything to bring in the kingdom, and the Lord was not going to leave them without food after they had done that for him. So, the poor in Galatians 10 is their poor. They're in that, the poor in the church of God there in Jerusalem, where that Jerusalem meeting took place in Acts 15. All right, the third of the 11, and we're not going to get through all of them today, but in fact, I have to close. I'm probably going to have to close before I get through the first of the notes here, first part, and we'll have 3 days instead of two. I'm going to have to go pretty soon. This next one is the aid from Thessalonica in Macedonia to Jerusalem. And we'll look at 1 Thessalonians 5:14 about that. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. There it is. Just those three words. Be patient toward all men. So he's writing a note, and he includes in his letter back to Thessalonica after he left, he says, support the weak. That's what he's talking about, the weak. The weaker brothers that could perish if they did not endure to the end, that were among them, that had believed that Jesus was the Christ, risen from the dead.